Rubicon Theater Company presents the howlingly funny comedy Sylvia, about the love triangle between a couple of empty nesters and a mutt that steals their heart. Meet Sylvia. She's a dog, and she's found a new home. Greg brings home a dog, only to find that his wife, Kate, doesn't want anything to do with his new four-legged friend. Hilarity ensues as Greg and Sylvia bond, leaving Kate to feel neglected in her own home and marriage. After exploring every option, Greg must choose between the woman he loves and the sassy, adorably loyal dog that loves him unconditionally. Tickets available at Rubicon Theater Company in Ventura's Downtown Cultural District. Runs Wednesdays through Sundays, April 19th through May 7th. Call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to RubiconTheater.org.
Everybody loves hot, fresh, and delicious kettle corn. One of Kim's favorites is California Kettle Corn, family owned and operated since the summer of 2007. Every golden kernel of this superior quality popping corn is American grown in the Midwest and hand popped with care in California. You can find this amazing kettle corn being freshly popped at fairs, farmers markets, local events, and at the Newberry Park Shop. Come try a truly unique kettle corn experience with high quality kernels. California Kettle Corn, hand popped and homemade. We love it and know you will too. Book your next event. Call 805-715-1500. That's 805-715-1500.
As you embark on the process to acquire a home or refinance an existing home, choosing the right mortgage professional to guide you through the process is essential. With over 40 years in the mortgage industry, Michael Blasser can help you achieve the dream of home ownership or greater home affordability. Experience matters in today's ever-increasing complexity of the lending process. Primary Residential Mortgage, a nationally ranked top 10 mortgage banker where the primary focus is you. For more information, call 805-367-3117. That's 805-367-3117. Or visit mikeforloans.com. NMLS number 248433.
The DUI attorneys and expert criminal lawyers at the law offices of Douglas H. Ridley in Moorpark and Simi Valley, California, are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. As your defense attorneys, they're on your side during one of the most difficult periods in your life. Call now at no charge and sleep better tonight. It's time to get Southern California's expert team on your side with the DUI attorneys and criminal lawyers at the law offices of Douglas H. Ridley, 805-208-1866. That's 805-206-1866. Visit www.duiattorneys-ca.com for more information.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the second hour. And of course, we've been here since early this morning. And I hope that you joined us. And if you haven't, at least join us next week. And we always start our day in a positive way. And, you know, that's what we do here on the Kim Pagano Show. And for anybody that's just tuning in with us, we're so glad that you're here. I always like to start off with some positive thoughts and start our show with some meaning behind it. And being happy doesn't mean everything's perfect. It means you've decided to look beyond the imperfections. Really, that's what life's all about, is there is no perfect in anything that we do. But if we wake up and make our best at what we're doing, that's what it's all about. So I want to start off with some of our great guests that we're going to be having here. But I want to give out our phone number. And of course, that number is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We love to give back here on the Kim Pagano Show. And all you have to do is call us and leave us your name, your number, and your email. And when you call in, ask to be on the newsletter that goes out every single week. That's another chance to find out about all of our great events, where to get their books, more chances to win. Also, stay in touch with us on social, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those are more chances to win too. And I hope that you subscribe to our podcast. And that, of course, is on iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. And you can listen to all of our back shows there. So I want to talk a little bit about our first guest. And, of course, Nelson Buss is going to be talking about Chili Cook-Off and Classic Car Show. And, of course, we're talking about the 41st one. Oh my God. And they always do such a great job. Good food, good fun. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We've got tickets to give away. So make sure you write that phone number down, 805-419-0008. Our next guest is John G. Miller, and we're going to be talking about his book, Outstanding, 47 Ways to Make Organization Exceptional. I love that. I can't wait to hear about that. And then, of course, Julia Dahl with her book, Conviction. And so we've got a little, lots of different things that we're talking about. Tom, you want to talk about some of our great giveaways?
Let's start off with a great place to have dinner, Lure Fish House. Experience their top-tier seafood. It's complete with fresh local produce, located at 60 South California Street in Ventura. Look for Lure Fish House. Rubio's, the original fish taco. Their mission is to serve coastal food that you can feel great about eating with quality ingredients for years. They are located in Ventura. Rubicon Theater, Sylvia, getting great reviews. It's a very, very popular comedy, and we have those tickets here with Kim. Rolling Pin Donuts. You must have a donut, and when you're going to have a donut, have the best one possible, and that's Rolling Pin Donuts, located in Camarillo. We're going to be talking about the 41st Annual Chili Cook-Off. Yes, Kim has tickets for that. One of my faves. I was raised in Teo. I've been to it numerous times. And finally, the Kentucky Derby. It's a great party for a really good cause at the Camarillo Ranch House, May 6th from 1 to 5. For more information, visit www.accesstlcfoundation.org.
There you go. Thanks so much, Tom. And of course, we've got tickets to the Kentucky Derby, and I'd love to get those in your hands. Call us right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Also, I do want to remind everybody one other thing. The next day, there is Love is Brewing, and of course, that's Sunday, May 7th, 11 to 2. This is proceeds benefit Interfaith Children's Family Services, and what a great way to give back. So if you are interested, I'd love to share that with you, and you can go to www.icfs.org to get your tickets. Another great event. So right now, let's turn it all over to Chili Cook-Off and, of course, Classic Car Show. Nelson, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course, of course. And of course, I can't believe it's already the 41st. Oh my God. How does that, like, where did the time fly?
I have no idea. I moved here 28 years ago as a teenager, and it seems like this is like the first one for me. I can't even believe it's been 41.
I know. It's crazy. So what are we going to find? I know lots of good food, vendors, activities. What can we expect?
Well, I was going to say, this year we have, of course, over 40 different chili vendors coming in to share with us their wonderful chili. The Classic Car Show will have over 100 cars entered. We also have a kids zone that is sponsored by Solar Conceptions. So anybody that wants to bring their family along and let the kids run wild, we have a kids zone that's completely free for them to enjoy.
I love that. Okay, that's perfect.
We also have a large number of other food vendors. Just in case you're not a big chili fan, we're going to have all kinds of other food vendors and all kinds of fun. It's at Canoe Creek Park North, so that's obviously a lovely setting.
And, of course, that's right behind the library, right? Thousand Oaks Library.
You got it.
I know. Everybody, you know, it's funny. It used to be like a secret place, and now it's like they've got such, it's so great. It's like the best of both worlds back there, you know. It's a whole little private event back there, and yet it's so beautiful. So I love that. I do want to remind everybody that, of course, this is happening April 30th, and that is 11 to 5. Now, what if you get VIP tickets? Then when do you get there?
General admission opening for everybody VIP is 11 a.m.
Okay.
So, yeah, we will be running from 11 to 5. Prior to that, of course, everybody's setting up. So
Got it. Okay, perfect. Awesome. Okay. Okay, talk to us about who's going to be playing the music there. I know you've got three stages.
Yes, we've actually got Cover to Cover will be on the main stage performing for us. And I believe the Red Muffs are going to be on the Borderline stage.
Perfect. Okay. And now I know that you have all those cars parked all throughout the parking lot right there, but tell us about some of the hot rods that will be there.
Well, they have a large number of different categories. One of my personal friends is bringing a Mopar Hellcat, so I know that's pretty exciting for all the horsepower fans out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there'll be over 100 cars ranging from classics to modern. So that's going to be very exciting.
I love it. You know what I love about this is, you know, you can, my husband, like, we take a little stroll down and look at all the cars. Then we come back and get some chili and, you know, listen to some great music. So it's a win-win.
Exactly.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so if my listeners don't win tickets here, where do they get their tickets?
You can get tickets at the gate. It's $12 for admission. Obviously, children, I believe, 6 and under are free. So bring the kids. Oh, 10 and under. 10 and under are free.
Oh, even better.
Yes. So and admission is $12. All of the money proceeds from this event go to the Thousand Oaks Rotary Club and Canoe Valley Rotary Clubs to be distributed to charity groups throughout the community. So 100% of this goes back into our community for charity groups inside the community.
You know, I was just talking, Tom and I were talking on our earlier show, and there's another great Rotary Clubs. Okay, you guys are doing such an amazing job, and they're all over the place. Whatever group you get into, I just went to the Appreciation Rotary luncheon. And how long have you been doing that, Nelson?
I've been with the Rotary Club about a year now. I actually joined the Rotary Club because I've been coming to the Chili Cook-Off for 7 years, making chili with my friends as part of our contribution to the community. And so last year I got involved with the Rotary Club themselves, and I've decided to help them actually keep the event going. Because it's a 100% volunteer event, and so, as you know, it takes a couple of volunteers to make one of these
happen. Takes a village, I know. That's why we were talking about that, is what's holding people back from being their best. And how has that, you know, inspired you to just get out there and help? Here you are enjoying it, and now you're going to enjoy it and be a part of it.
Exactly. So for 7 years now, I've been making chili and handing out chili at a chili booth. And 8,000 people attend this event every year from our community. And it takes roughly 300 volunteers to get the event to go. And so I decided that not only will I be handing out chili this year, but I wanted to be one of the volunteers that would make it happen.
I love it.
And so that we could all enjoy
it. So I have a question. So are you making chili this year?
Yes.
Okay, so is yours spicy or is it mild?
It's always got a little bit of a kick at the front,
like
but a sweet taste.
Ooh, okay, kind of sweet and spicy. You got my vote. And then we go around and vote, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so people's choice.
Yes, people's choice. If you get a chance, stop by and say hello to me. I'll be at the BHMC Chili Booth.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm excited to try all the different kinds. That's like my favorite thing to do. Just kind of like, okay, this has got, you know, they're all great. But, you know, it's fun when you find out like which one really does it for you. So, Nelson, thank you so much. I'm going to give away a pair of tickets right now. Call in at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And, of course, this is happening April 30th, 11 to 5. And, of course, it's over at the beautiful Caneo Creek North Park, right there, right behind the Thousand Oaks Library. And if you don't win tickets here, go to www.chili/cookoff.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Nelson. And I look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Take care. Thank you so much. All right. We are going to just move right in to our next guest. And of course, John Miller. Are you there?
No.
No. Okay. Outstanding. That was outstanding. Anyways, I'm excited to talk with you because I just think that, you know, ways of making your organization exceptional.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. And I know you've been on with other books, right?
Yes.
Okay, and just tell us who you are.
We're on the air?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, great. forgive me. All right. Well, I am author of QBQ, The Question Behind the Question, which has sold about 1.5 million books, and I have a few other books out. One of them is Raising Accountable Kids, because my wife and I have 7 kids, so we wrote a book together. And then Flipping the Switch exists because it's the book that is the sequel to QBQ. Really, it's the companion book. And all of those books are really about personal accountability and how to get rid of the blame, victim thinking, procrastination from our lives. And then because of my experience calling on corporations for 3 decades, I wrote this book called Outstanding, 47 Ways to Make Your Organization Exceptional. And that's what I understand we'd like to chat about today.
I love it. What's number one? What is the number one way to make your organization exceptional?
Well, it's funny you ask it that way, Kim, because we have in the preface even say there is no priority given to any of the 47 ways. So when we put them together and wrote them all, somebody recently asked me, couldn't you come up with 3 more and make it 50? And I said, nope, we ran out of ideas at 47. So we stayed right there. And I like the number.
Okay.
But there is not one that would be more important than the other.
Now, you know, John, I kind of remember a story, and I'm hoping this is you, and believe me, I have like 10 years of interviews in my brain, okay?
Yeah.
But was yours the interview that you were in a restaurant, and you asked for Coca-Cola, and they didn't have it there? Is that you?
That's me, but that's in the QBQ book.
I loved that story. I think I told that at one of my presentations, because you don't know who you're dealing with when you're dealing with somebody. And they didn't know who you were. But you know what I'm saying? Because we're all perfect in our own way. And we all need to be specially treated that way. And so when you say no to somebody, or you don't show up with, you know, I think I kind of put it in, you know, we all have a potluck, you know. If you don't just go into your refrigerator and you get all your leftovers, how good is your potluck going to be? Okay. Or, you know, you want to present yourself with your best everywhere you go. And I love that story, because that just totally standed out. And how outstanding was that guy?
Oh, he was very outstanding. In fact, that was the Rock Bottom restaurant.
Yeah.
And that story happened one day when I was in a hurry, and he was flying by me carrying dirty dishes to the kitchen, and I was sitting at the bar area because they were really crowded on a Thursday at noon, and he stops and looks at me, and this is the key to being outstanding. He did not think, not my department, not my problem, not my job. He stopped while carrying dishes to the dirty dishes to the kitchen, and he said, "Have you been helped?" I said, "No, I haven't been, but I'm kind of in a hurry." He said, "Well, I can help you, sir. What would you like?" I said, "Well, I really just want a salad and a roll, something simple." And he said, "What would you like to drink?" I said, "Well, Diet Coke. I love Diet Coke." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry. We only sell Pepsi products." I said, "No, Vicky, you know, I'll have water and lemon." He said, "Great." And then he takes off. A couple minutes later, he's back with the salad and the roll and the water and the lemon. And I thank him, and he leaves. And here's the key, Kim, to being outstanding. I was already pleased. I was not unhappy. I was not going to go complain about them. I was not disgruntled. I was a happy customer, happy camper. But we reap what we sow. Suddenly, I feel the wind of enthusiasm blowing behind my back. The long arm of service stretches over my shoulder, and he places right in front of my face, right in front of my plate, a 20-ounce bottle of Diet Coke, even though they don't sell Diet Coke.
Yeah, wow.
And I called him back. He left, and I called him back. I said, "I thought you didn't sell Coke products." He says, "We don't." I said, "Well, where did this come from?" He says, "Grocery store around the corner."
Yeah.
And when I asked him, "How did you have time to go get it?" He said, "Oh, I didn't go get it, sir. I sent my manager."
Yeah. Okay. So who is in charge here? You know, I love it. I love it. It's all, I mean, and we can do anything in our life if we designate other people to help us. And that's really the moral of the story is, I mean, how he went out of his way. He made you happy. You're never going to forget that, right?
Never.
And you
never.
Did you go and tell his boss?
Yeah, well, actually, he then I called him back. I asked him some questions, and it turned out, you know, the boss, of course, when he said to his boss, "Can you go get this guy a Diet Coke?" She said, "What a great servant leader should say." She said, "You bet."
Yeah.
And she ran out to the grocery store, which was nearby, got me the Diet Coke, came back, and I've been raving about the Rock Bottom restaurant ever since. And see, that's the difference between mediocre, average, and outstanding. In fact, they were good. They were good that day up until they got me the Diet Coke. Then they went from good to outstanding.
Right.
And now I rave about the Rock Bottom wherever I go.
Right. John, can I tell you not to drink Diet Coke anymore, though? I'm telling you.
Whatever you say to do, I will do.
Okay. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, we're talking with John G. Miller. One of his books, of course, Outstanding. And, of course, 47 Ways to Make Your Organization Exceptional. I'm looking at some of the chapters of the names in here, and Believe or Leave. Tell us a little bit about that.
That came from my experience of implementing training for many years with small groups, Kim. And people would say one thing in the training room. You know, they'd say, "Oh, I love my company. We're the best." And then we'd go out in the hallway, and they'd whisper to me stuff that was just the opposite. You know, "Oh, our company's not that bad, and our management's terrible." And we'd have employees complaining about management. You'd have management complaining about employees. And I used to think, nobody's making you work here. If you don't believe in this institution, get out.
Mm-hmm.
Go do something else. I mean, nobody on their deathbed is going to say, I'm glad I did everything I could possibly do in my life to unlock my potential. No, we're always going to say, I didn't completely play my tune. I didn't completely reach my potential. So when you're 30 or 40 or 50, if you're not happy where you're working, you don't believe in the institution and what it stands for, you don't believe, leave.
Right.
Go find something else to do. And I don't say it flippantly. Some people, you got to pay bills. But still, if you're not excited to come to work on Monday morning, try to look around and find something that you can do, make a living at, that excites you to get out of bed.
I love that. That's great, great advice there. Now, what about higher character?
Oh, man, that's really near and dear to my heart, because even though I have an Ivy League degree and I went to Cornell back from the late 70s, I don't think, Kim, I use one thing today that I learned at Cornell in 1976 through 1980.
Hmm.
If you were going to hire me today, I would hope you'd hire me because I'm accountable, because I have integrity, because I'm going to be punctual, because I'm going to take care of the customer, because I have a heart of desire and care to take care of people. You're going to hire me because I'm coachable and learn. I'm going to learn, but you're not going to hire me because I went to Cornell.
Hmm. I love that.
Character. You can train so much into people if you hire the right substance. We've got to start with the foundation. So all we're really saying to human resource departments is drop some of those artificial standards you've come up with and make sure your people interviewing are really digging into the character of the person. Because as somebody said to me, and we quote it in the Outstanding book, we tend to hire on education and perceived skill, but we always fire on lack of character.
Mm.
Let's turn that around. Let's hire on character.
I love that. John, will you stay with us? Because there's so many things I want to talk to you about, but you have in here Forgive Mistakes. That's a big one. And will you stay with us?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Sure. We are going to take a really quick break. And, of course, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. I'd love to give some Kentucky Derby at the Camarillo Ranch House. And, of course, that is happening May 6th, 1 to 5. We've got tickets for you. Call in right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. This is going to be so much fun. And, of course, it's a dressy attire, derby hat, and it's all for a great cause. So I've got a pair of tickets waiting for you. Call us again right now. We'll be right back.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
As you embark on the process to acquire a home or refinance an existing home, choosing the right mortgage professional to guide you through the process is essential. With over 40 years in the mortgage industry, Michael Blasser can help you achieve the dream of home ownership or greater home affordability. Experience matters in today's ever-increasing complexity of the lending process. Primary Residential Mortgage, a nationally ranked top 10 mortgage banker where the primary focus is you. For more information, call 805-367-3117. That's 805-367-3117. Or visit mikeforloans.com. NMLS number 248433.
Rubicon Theater Company presents the howlingly funny comedy Sylvia, about the love triangle between a couple of empty nesters and a mutt that steals their heart. Meet Sylvia. She's a dog, and she's found a new home. Greg brings home a dog, only to find that his wife, Kate, doesn't want anything to do with his new four-legged friend. Hilarity ensues as Greg and Sylvia bond, leaving Kate to feel neglected in her own home and marriage. After exploring every option, Greg must choose between the woman he loves and the sassy, adorably loyal dog that loves him unconditionally. Tickets available at Rubicon Theater Company in Ventura's Downtown Cultural District. Runs Wednesdays through Sundays, April 19th through May 7th. Call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to RubiconTheater.org.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. We're talking with John G. Miller and, of course, one of his books, Outstanding. And before we went on a break, we talked about forgive mistakes. Talk to us about that. I love your input on all of these. This is a great book.
Wow. I really appreciate that, Kim. Thank you. The book is titled Outstanding, and we titled it that way because we just felt that people can go one extra mile at any given moment, or we can ratchet it up a little bit and be better than we were yesterday. This does not mean we have to be perfect. There is no perfect person, no perfect organization. But we stepped back and said, okay, I've been calling on organizations for decades. What makes one company stand out? Aha! Well, the ones that are outstanding. And one thing you find inside cultures that are outstanding is there's no blame, no finger-pointing between departments. There's no recrimination. There's no gotcha, that kind of thing. And so that all leads to simply forgiving mistakes. I mean, who in their company today doesn't still need pencils with erasers? We all make mistakes. And so what you find in a really healthy organizational culture is the accounting department doesn't hold it against the HR department, who doesn't hold it against the legal department. You don't have corporate holding grudges against the field and vice versa. You simply have a belief system that says, hey, let's forgive mistakes when people make them, and we all make them.
Wow. That's we all are. We're human human beings. How do they say that? Human beings doing human...
doing human things?
Human things, right?
Human mistakes. That's me.
There you go. I love it. Let me ask you a question, okay? Because you deal with so many businesses, do you ever feel like businesses have different runs in their life? You know what I mean? How, like, all of a sudden you're selling, and everything's going good, and then all of a sudden maybe you can't make any sales or things just aren't jiving. Is it you, or is it the industry, or do you have to keep kind of like reexamining life and going, okay, I'm going to switch this now. I'm going to try something different. What's your thought on that?
Well, you just covered a three-day training course, I'm sure.
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Okay.
But I think of BlackBerry. 10 years ago, most of us in business had BlackBerry. In fact, so many people had BlackBerries, they were called Crackberries, if you remember that.
Okay.
Now BlackBerry's basically gone. They lost out to Apple and the iPhone. And I often think about the BlackBerry executives today. What do they, when they scratch their heads and look back, what did they miss? Not adapting to change, not able to see around the corner, not being agile on a daily basis, not recognizing the threat of the iPhone. BlackBerry's gone. iPhone is king. That's a great example of something went wrong, and it went horribly wrong. But on a personal level, if I'm not making enough sales, if I'm not collaborating with people well, if I'm not getting along, if my team isn't succeeding, if I'm a manager, Kim, and my department isn't winning, the only thing I can do is look in the mirror. That's why everything we teach at the QBQ company and at QBQ.com is personal accountability. You know, Kim, you could throw away all the training courses in the world and all the books. I'm an author, and I just said that. And just use the mirror. Just look in the mirror and say, how can I improve me today? That's what the question behind the question is all about. Instead of, why can't others get it right? When am I going to get more support? Just ask, what can I do to improve the things I'm doing? How can I be more outstanding today? Personal accountability, that's the solution.
Wow, that just makes so much sense. Okay. All right, well, okay, I'm kind of speechless after that because we do. We all have to, you know, we can't go, well, why didn't they like me or why didn't I get that sale? So let's go ahead.
Excuse me, let me just say this. Here's the logic in us wants to come up with reasons why we failed or reasons why we didn't make the sale. And certainly there are reasons. But the minute I come up with that reason and it comes out of my mouth, it sounds like, and it becomes an excuse.
Oh, gotcha.
So things happen. I've been in sales for 31 years. Sales fall through for all kinds of reasons. But am I able to let go of it and learn from it and move on from it? That is a key question for all healthy, mentally healthy, emotionally healthy human beings. Can I let go and can I learn and can I move on? That's what I've got to do so I can be better tomorrow. Because, Kim, you know what? I want to make the next sale.
Right. Right. And so what makes you, you know, I mean, when you go to one of your classes or your courses, does it give you that confidence back? Does it renew your license for life? I mean, tell me, you know, what are we doing when we go to your courses?
When people get exposed to the 2BQ and our outstanding material, flipping the switch, raising accountable kids, I truly believe they walk away with a lot of stuff, but I'm not going to list everything. Here's what they really walk away from. Most human beings come into a training class frustrated with a boss, maybe a spouse, maybe an adult child. Maybe they're tired, they're fatigued. Maybe they think the world is creating their stress, which is not true. We teach that stress is a choice. I create my own stress. They go through our material, they go through our training, they go through our speaking engagements, and they walk out, and they have a new leash on life. They have actually been able to empower themselves by saying, you know what, I'm not a victim. No more finger pointing. I'm not going to keep putting off action. Life is too short. What can I do today to move forward? That's what we call the QBQ, the question behind the question. How can I be my best today? Personal accountability. And I think they have untold energy that they never had before because no longer are they whining and blaming and complaining about others. They're saying, I own my life. What can I do today to be my best?
Wow. I love that. So let me wrap this up. And, of course, I have to have you back because you have so much energy. I mean, you make me tired, and I think I have a lot of energy.
Not bad for a 59-year-old.
I know. You're rocking it. Let me tell you. You're outstanding.
Thank you.
What is one of the one things that you feel all outstanding organizations do well? Did I get that out? Jeez.
That's okay. That's okay. We all get tongue-tied at times. They absolutely do not make excuses. They look in the mirror, and they, like BlackBerry. I mean, I don't know the executives at BlackBerry, but today,
right.
10 years later, do they make excuses for why they failed? Or do they honestly accept full responsibility for not seeing changes coming in the competition of the iPhone? And do they take that lesson of being accountable forward in their lives and apply it in other companies? The outstanding organizations just simply, and just like outstanding people, Kim, just like you, they do not make excuses. They own their results, and they learn from those results, and they move on in life. And
I love it.
That's key, I think, to enjoying living.
I love what you do. I love having you on my show, and I love your inspiration.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. Where do we find
your
book?
QBQ.com is the best place to go, QBQ.com. Or, of course, John G. Miller and Amazon, QBQ, Outstanding, Flipping the Switch, Raising Accountable Kids. All the books are out there, and we have a brand-new workbook titled The QBQ Workbook, Great Tool for Personal Application.
Okay. Perfect. I want to talk to you again. And please share our show with everyone. You know, I don't know if you know, but we have our podcast, and that's on iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. I look forward again to talking with you, John. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. When we come back, of course, we got a little flip to the whole show here. We're going to talk with Julia Dahl, and we're going to be talking about conviction. And of course, it's one of the best books of the year. we're going to talk. It's a novel. So we're doing something a little different here. So stay with us. I'd love to give something away. Let's see. We have Kentucky Derby at the Camarillo Ranch House that we've given away. If you haven't called, you can call for that. We've got the Chili Cook-Off and Classic Car Show. That, of course, is the 41st. That is happening on the 30th, 11 to 5. Of April. And then let's see, we've got Rubicon. And of course, if you haven't seen the show Sylvia, oh my God, it's so much fun and it's a great comedy. So definitely check that out. And we've also got Lure Fish House. How about some Rubio? If you haven't had Rubio's yet, gosh, their fish tacos, their burritos, their shrimp with bacon. Ooh, so good. Anyways, I've got a gift certificate for you for that. Call in right now at 805-419-0008. Stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We'll be right back.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
As you embark on the process to acquire a home or refinance an existing home, choosing the right mortgage professional to guide you through the process is essential. With over 40 years in the mortgage industry, Michael Blasser can help you achieve the dream of home ownership or greater home affordability. Experience matters in today's ever-increasing complexity of the lending process. Primary Residential Mortgage, a nationally ranked top 10 mortgage banker where the primary focus is you. For more information, call 805-367-3117. That's 805-367-3117 or visit mikeforloans.com, NMLS number 248433.
Rubicon Theater Company presents the howlingly funny comedy Sylvia, about the love triangle between a couple of empty nesters and a mutt that steals their heart. Meet Sylvia. She's a dog, and she's found a new home. Greg brings home a dog, only to find that his wife, Kate, doesn't want anything to do with his new four-legged friend. Hilarity ensues as Greg and Sylvia bond, leaving Kate to feel neglected in her own home and marriage. After exploring every option, Greg must choose between the woman he loves and the sassy, adorably loyal dog that loves him unconditionally. Tickets available at Rubicon Theater Company in Ventura's Downtown Cultural District. Runs Wednesdays through Sundays, April 19th through May 7th. Call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to RubiconTheater.org.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And I do want to remind you that we have been here since 6 o'clock. If you want to wake up early with us and start your day in a positive way, please join us every Saturday from 6 to 8. And then also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those great places. And of course, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. You'll find all of our last shows there. And if you're looking for something that I did a while back, you can go to our website, kimpaganoshow.com. Again, our next guest is Julia Dahl, and we're going to be talking about her book, Conviction. And of course, this is a novel, and I'm excited to share it with you. Julia, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you. So how long have you been writing?
I mean, I've been writing since I was like in high school, but I started my career as a journalist, as a reporter. I was an editor and a writer at women's magazines for a while, and then I went back to school and started writing. I got a job at the New York Post, which is a tabloid here in New York City, and I was, you know, running around like a crazy person every day. But I always wanted to write fiction too, and I sort of had dabbled in that unsuccessfully. And about 2007, as I was starting this job as a tabloid reporter, so much of what I saw every day all over the city, I never got into the paper. And I was like, I need to write a novel about this. So I just started writing, and you know, I mean, it took 7 years for the book to come out, but finally it did. And now I'm, you know, Conviction is the third in the series about this tabloid reporter named Rebecca Roberts. And now I'm working on the fourth.
Wow. Good for you. I love that. I love when it's like your journey and then you got there.
Yeah. It was a long and winding road, but I totally had like the end goal in mind always.
Oh, I love that. So most mysteries have a cop or a private investigator as their main character. Why did you choose to focus on a reporter?
Well, partly because it was a world I knew. You know, I'd been a reporter and stuff, but I also just find, you know, journalism and reporting really fascinating. And you know, I started writing 10 years ago, and I think it's gotten only more fascinating. You know, everybody's talking about journalism and what, you know, what the role of the reporter and what it means to be a good reporter. And you know, those of us who go into journalism, a lot of us think of it like medicine, where we feel like it's a calling, where we really love the work. We are fascinated by people and we want to sort of uncover the truth. Also, we're just sort of a little bit, you know, naturally, you might say curious. Some people have called me nosy. But, you know, it's a great job to really get into other people's lives, like cops, you know, and private investigators. Like, our job is to sort of dig in and ask people questions that are maybe uncomfortable or inappropriate because we're trying to get at the truth. So you can take a reporter anywhere. You can, you know, she can show up on anybody's door, and it's her job to ask questions. And that is something I really wanted to, you know, follow. And, you know, there's just so much fun to be had.
You know what? I feel like, you know, I've been doing my radio show for 10 years, and I always say it's like school on air, okay? Mm-hmm. I get to sit here and, like, learn people's journeys and kind of see who they are and hear their story. And I think it's kind of the same thing, and now you've kind of created your story, correct?
Totally. I'm the same way. You know, I mean, I just feel like it's such a privilege every day to get to, like, talk to people I would never be able to talk to before and learn about them, and people can be really so forthcoming, even when things are, you know, it's a really difficult topic. Exactly. And then, you know, as a reporter, at some level, there's only so well, only so much you can know about a person. You know, you're not going to ever really be able to see their insides in a way that, you know, writing fiction, you get to create a character and you get to create their whole world and their all their emotions and their psychology. So that satisfies that really, like, human curiosity that I have that I can't, it's not like an itch I can scratch when I'm doing reporting.
Now, you know what's interesting? Okay, so you were saying that you could ask questions that you really would never, you know what I mean? Like, it's interesting. I'm also a hair therapist, and so I feel like I've been interviewing people my whole entire life. And, you know, but now that I've been doing the radio show, it's like this other person comes out. And so, you know, it's like, Julia, tell me how you got started. You know what I mean? And it's like these magic questions because you're trying to do your job. You're trying to be interesting and you want to know too.
Yeah, and exactly. And you have to be, you know, if you're going to interview people, like, you have to be sort of brave. You have to just say, I'm going to knock on this door and I'm going to ask this question. And you have to accept that they might scream at you and curse at you and yell at you and, you know, chase you off their lawn. And I have been chased off of many lawns and many stoops. But, you know, you lose some of that fear. And you know, especially, like, I'm just, a very curious person. And yet in my daily life, if I'm not going to be able to just go up to random strangers and ask them personal questions. But when it's your job, you kind of have that excuse.
Right.
And you, it's surprising.
It gives you permission.
Say that again?
It gives you permission.
Exactly. And people I've found have been really, you know, if you open. Go at them in a way, they're really open. Exactly. They want, you know, people want to talk about their lives. If you ask them in a way that's respectful and, you know, genuinely curious, people are flattered to be asked, you know, their opinion.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. You used to do women's magazines. This is such a far reach from, you know, murder and mayhem. What did you used to write about in women's magazines?
I did all different kinds of stuff. I did, you know, some sort of, like, celebrity, you know, interviews and profiles. I did, like, body image stuff. I did some sort of fun features. Like, one year I spent a weekend living with the Miss Universe, Miss USA, and Miss Teen USA, who all lived together in one of the Trump buildings, and, like, just sort of spent the weekend with them and wrote a feature about them. And that was actually incredibly fun. But it was, you know, it's like, When you graduate college and you want to be in journalism, you take the job that you get, you know, and the New York Times wasn't hiring. So, you know, I took the jobs I got, and I'm so thankful for them because I learned a lot and I made a lot of connections. And, you know, honestly, as a young 20-something person in New York City, it was so much fun to be at a women's magazine and get to go to cool parties and,
I'm sure,
and you know,
yeah.
get books before they were published. It was, like, a great time.
Yeah, I love that. So what inspired you to write your own book and to, you know, to do this?
I mean, I it was always a fantasy. I've always been a reader. You know, my mom's motto from the time I was born was bring a book wherever you go. You'll never be bored if you always have a book with you.
So are you a really avid reader?
Totally. I mean, I was, you know,
That's a great thing.
Had a book with me. And that was my fantasy land. I mean, I grew up in Fresno, and but I didn't have to stay there in my mind. I could be anywhere. I could be in Germany and Indonesia and, you know, science, sci-fi worlds and stuff if you're reading. And I just always had a book with me. And so I think at some level I wanted to contribute to like what it was that brought me the greatest pleasure. You know, to me, like the coolest thing in the world would be if I could write a book, like
so
a book.
Because
a book I wanted to read.
Right. Exactly. And so do you feel like you've done it with conviction?
I do. I'm
That's really awesome.
Proud of it. I'm really proud of it. And, like, you never get over the thrill of going to a bookstore and seeing a book with your name on it. I mean, it's just so cool.
Okay, perfect. So your book digs into a very little-known community, right?
Yes.
And tell us about that. What prompted you to write about this and them?
Well, so my books deal with the very insular Hasidic Jewish community in New York City. And there's also a Hasidic community in LA, and there's one in Chicago, so your listeners might be somewhat familiar. But I grew up, my mom's Jewish, my dad's Christian, and I grew up going to both church and temple. And my parents are married and very much in love, and to them, the two religions are more similar than different. So we kind of were brought up in this very, you know, open home. And in Fresno, there were no Hasidic Jews. I didn't know they existed in the world, even though I often went to synagogue and you know, celebrated all the Jewish holidays. And then all of a sudden, I moved to New York City when I was in my early 20s, and I'm like on the subway seeing these men in black hats and women in wigs and looking at them and thinking, they're Jewish like me, but they're nothing like me. Like, who are these people?
Right.
And I kind of was curious, and then this weird thing happened where my boyfriend, now husband, and I were looking for an apartment in Brooklyn, and the real estate guy took us to the apartment and was like, before I show you this apartment, I need to tell you something. The man who lived here and just vacated committed suicide in the apartment. And we were kind of like shocked.
Uh-huh.
I know. It was not what we were expecting to hear, obviously. But and so we kind of exchanged a look and looked at the apartment. And the thing was, I mean, it wasn't a nice apartment, but it was a good apartment and it was in a good location and it was, you know, in our price range. And so we ended up taking it. There was no signs that anything awful had happened there, you know, but it turned out that the man, you know, I started getting curious. I'm like, who was this guy? You know,
yeah,
I'm living
God.
In the room.
You know, they say that their soul is still there.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any of those findings?
You know, I did it. I remember thinking, like, I have never seen a ghost. I totally am open to the possibility, you know, that they exist. But I remember thinking, if I'm ever going to see a ghost or feel something, it would be in this apartment. And I didn't. But I did feel, like, I felt close to him because I felt like I'm living, it was a tiny apartment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living in the rooms where he drew his last breath. And
right.
Or his last breath. And I would get his mail all the time because people didn't know he was dead. And I kept a file folder with his mail in it. And it turned out that he was a Hasidic man from a very Orthodox neighborhood in Brooklyn. He was married. He had children, but he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been shunned from the community and ended up dying alone in this apartment. And I was just so fascinated by that. So sad. And it was not the Judaism I knew. You know, growing up, I know lots of gay Jews. Like,
right.
It didn't occur to me. I thought, so what is this sect of my religion that would shun somebody for being gay? And I was just like, I have to learn more about this.
Wow.
And, you know, when you're a writer you get curious, you just sort of start to write.
Right. Wow. I love that. So what are we going to find in your book? And I know your books don't really shy away from controversial issues, race, mental health, illness, our police, you know, what are we going to find?
Well, Conviction is about a wrongful conviction. And it was something that, you know, I feel like we're reading about this all the time. People who were convicted in the late 80s and early 90s, many like young black men who were either, you know, you know, falsely confessed, or we didn't have DNA at the time, so there wasn't a way to sort of, you know, to use that. And now, all of a sudden, like, every week I'm reading about somebody who is getting out of prison, and it, you know, they didn't do it. Can you imagine living,
right,
you know, 25
no,
years in prison and knowing you didn't do it? So I knew I wanted to write about someone who had been convicted of a crime when he was a teenager, and kind of, you know, the system was just totally stacked against him. And so I kind of hit on the Crown Heights riots, which happened right around the same time as the Rodney King
right.
stuff in L.A. And it was this sort of, you know, clash between the Jews and the African-American
right.
community in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. So I knew I wanted to write about a murder that took place then, sort of in the smoldering aftermath of these two communities coming together. And the reporter, the main character, trying to solve, you know, if this guy didn't do it, who did it?
Right, right. And that's what we're going to find in your book?
Yeah.
I like it.
So it goes back and forth in time. It's about New York City and, like, the bad old days when, you know, last year in New York City there were, like, 350 murders.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1990 there were more than 2,300 murders.
Wow.
So it's just, like, a totally different situation, you know. I mean, and it's not like there were six times as many cops to handle the six times as many murders, or, you know, not to mention arson, rape, theft, everything. So it was just, like, you know, the cops were just, like, trying to hold back a tidal wave, you know, and so mistakes got made.
Wow. It really is interesting to me because, you know, I can't imagine, I can't even think of who it was that sat in jail for so long and then they just let him out. And that poor life, that's, you know, I mean, and of course, obviously, if they were guilty, but you're guilty until proven otherwise, you know,
yeah.
or not
yeah.
guilty until proven otherwise, you know, and sometimes we get it backwards.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, everybody, there's so much stacked. Like, once you actually get convicted and go to prison, it's so stacked against you because, you know, the canard is everybody in prison's innocent. So,
right.
they, like, if you're actually innocent in prison, nobody's going to believe you.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So the uphill road, you know, the like the stairs you have to climb to get there, if you, you know, to get your conviction overturned, it's such a high bar. And I just can't, you know, the people who have done it, who have been advocating for themselves for 20, 30 years with no family help, nobody helping them.
You know,
they're just like heroes.
You're absolutely right. And you know what comes to my mind is the seniors that are all alone and trying to advocate. I know it's a totally different thing, but to advocate for their medical, you know what I mean? And trying
totally.
To, when you're worn down and you're just, there's no more left in you, who's your cheerleader, you know? And same thing,
exactly.
You're in jail and maybe you didn't do it. And, you know, I've seen, you know, in my time where, you know, somebody was accused of something, their parents tried to help, they lost their home. Then, you know what I mean? The families just lose everything trying to make
exactly.
something happen. And it just seems so unfair. And I don't know. I don't know how to, you know, obviously nobody knows how to fix that, but what an interesting topic.
Yeah.
And now, so let me ask you a question. Do you ever worry about offending your readers or?
I mean, I don't really. I figure if, you know, I feel like I stand behind my work and that I think that it's, you know, realistic. I think it's fair. You know, I think it pushes the envelope because I think that there are really tough issues that we have to deal with in our society. And part, you know, one, you know, I've always loved to read, and part of the reason I read is to
get away,
challenge my own assumptions,
right?
And to learn. And I think, I want to be a part of that conversation of, like, what's going wrong in our world? How can we fix it? And I think fiction has a really important role in that because it really allows you to empathize with people. It really forces you inside people's minds in a way that some other mediums can't. And, you know, I mean, yes, certainly people have been offended and can say, oh, I can't believe you're talking about Jews that way, or I can't believe you're talking about prosecutors or police that way. But, you know, I can't be afraid of that. If you're offended, okay, don't read the book, you know, or,
right.
or throw it away. That's fine.
Right.
I can accept that.
Wow. Well, congratulations on your first novel. And what is your most favorite part or your most favorite chapter?
Oh, my God. That's such a good question.
Thank you.
I don't know. I really love the first chapter because it's just you see the book revolves around a murdered family and that one little boy survives. And the first chapter, the little boy who's like 8 years old, walks barefoot to his church because it's Sunday morning and that's where he knows the people will care for him after his family's just been murdered. And just sort of writing that scene of him leaving the home where his family is and walking to church and being helped is, to me, like really, you know, especially now as the mom of a young boy, really scary and powerful.
Wow, I love that. I'm going to, I definitely have to read it now. But you know, what's interesting, and I don't know if this happens to you, and I know we're at the end of our show, is this the book that you intended to write? Because sometimes I'm trying to finish my book, I write it, and it's like, oh my God, that's not where I thought I was going.
Totally. I got like almost, I basically finished the book and then realized that the person I had as the killer needed to totally change.
I love it.
And it was like, I can't believe I have all this work to do, but I had to do it. It had to be done.
Julia Dahl, thank you so much. Your book, Conviction, and I'd love to have you back. I think it's great, and thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
Please
it's an
share
absolute
our
pleasure.
Show and of course, our podcast, iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. We're at the end of our show, and of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. Do what you have to do as fast as you can so you can do what you want to do as long as you can. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Have a great rest of your weekend. Get out of your box. Do something great, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.